When it comes to hunting boots, how many pairs does one man need? Well, how many seasons are there? Turkey season? Deer season? Duck season? Dove season?
Honey, how many pairs of boots does one man need?
At least one more pair. For just about everything for hunting, go to MidwayUSA.com. I'm Larry Potterfield with Midway USA. Thanks for your business.
Hunting is not easy. It never has been. It takes dedication, motivation, a lot of patience, and quality gear. If you manage a food plot, put up stands, or need just one more game camera, we can help at MidwayUSA.com. We opened our doors in 1977 and continue to put customers first by offering super fast, same-day shipping. For just about everything for the outdoors, go to MidwayUSA.com.
Hey, I just got back from lunch. Did you finish that report yet?
Well, not exactly. Still working on it. I'm not finished just yet. I got a little sidetracked, but I will get them to you first thing this afternoon.
It is first thing this afternoon.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I mean, I am working on it.
But what do you mean that the report isn't finished yet?
I'm still in the process of working on it. I've just been a little distracted.
Distracted? Our meeting starts in an hour.
Can have it.
No. What were you doing? Were you listening to another hunting podcast again? I swear, I give the staff in this office the freedom to do whatever they want to do as long as they meet a deadline. That is the first bullet underneath your job description. Pays attention to detail and deadlines. And deadlines. Dude, are you even listening to me right now?
Welcome to episode 91 of the Whitetail Distraction Podcast. My name's Austin, and joining me with a head cold, Charles Hedlund. How you doing, buddy?
I'm sick. What do you mean? Nah, dude, what's going on, man? We're in the rack shack. I'm feeling right.
Now, you swallowed a damn bug, and it, like, tore you apart.
This whole, at the end of this episode, I almost died at one point. I had to walk out and basically hacked up half my lung. But... Dude, this is like a 12-day, it went from like a head cold to sinuses to like some kind of sinus infection to where like my head is literally like bulging out in spots up in my nasal cavity. And like I had to take a nap today before I came over, put ice pack on my forehead and just fall asleep.
Oh my, goodness gracious.
This has been going around from what I hear, like a lot of people's kids are sick with this.
Yeah, people are getting that summertime cold, everybody's getting out of quarantine, it happens.
It is what it is, you know, it was nothing bad, you know, it's something I didn't want to have, but unfortunately it did keep me out of the woods. I wasn't able to hang the trail cameras I wanted to hang because I'd get kind of disoriented and stuff, and mm-hmm. I was like, I ain't driving with this, this is bad. I worked from home all week last week.
There you go.
Ready to go this weekend, man. Snake trip's coming up.
Get it, buddy. Get it. I am not going to go. I don't like snakes.
What do you mean? You're not going to come with me snake hunting?
I hate snakes.
Ever?
No, never. Not never.
Never, ever?
Not never.
Man.
Let's go garter snake hunting.
I do like me a garter snake.
No, I'm not touching those rattlesnakes. I'm good on that, but thanks.
All right. Well, yeah. I hope I find one this year. This is year four, I think.
I do too. I wish you would have talked to me about it, because I do have some good intel for you.
Well, I was supposed to talk to, like, Justin and them, because they said they had some places.
Okay. I'll send you something. Any Hoozleville.
Let me know.
Yeah, I will. Okay.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. All right, well, back on topic, man.
Yeah.
It's almost freaking, I shouldn't say it's almost, but deer season's coming, man. We're in whitetail mode. We got some good people.
It's hot, but, dude, some of them storms roll through, and you're driving around, deer hitting fields.
It's been gnarly, dude.
I got some on camera. I can't really tell what they are, but they're on camera. They look like bucks.
Yeah, man. I like it.
I need to get a little better cell cam, I think, but... The spy point gets the job done.
That a boy.
It shows me that there's deer moving. Every once in a while, I question it when I don't see a deer for like a day or two. I'm like, did the battery die? Did I do something wrong? Because I had to go and I finally cut that limb that was taking 4,000 pictures.
Good job.
Yeah, finally got it. I saw a buck that day.
They're beautiful.
Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, I was on the edge of the field and a nice buck come running out.
You did tell me that.
I thought I told you. Yeah, I might have said that on the podcast, actually.
You totally did.
I totally forget. Yeah. It's the head cold.
Yeah, it happens.
So what's new with you, man? What's going on with this weekend?
Nothing, got anything, man. Fun? My next whole month is like booked solid. I'm so freaking busy, man. I'm having a hell of a time getting things done, but you know, I'm getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. I've been out one time. I saw a lot of deer sign. It's going to be an interesting spot. It's going to be a hard spot to hunt. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet. I got to figure it out a little bit better, but
yeah.
No cameras out yet. I don't know. I went out and I didn't take cameras because I'm dumb, but yeah,
that was probably smart. There. No, I'm with you. I don't think I have a weekend open that isn't booked with some sort of event
or yeah.
something happening until September.
Like point. All weekend.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Both days. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Got to work around it, man.
Yeah.
Got to adapt. Overcome.
Yeah. And one of them things, the canoe trip that we go on every year. And then, you know, there's some bow fishing adventures in there somewhere at the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be trying to shoot some fish with a bow and some arrows.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's going to be badass.
I'm down for it.
We're still building that bow hunting team right now to go out with us, but we kind of want to bring new people along, you know, love the group we went with last year, but it's kind of like an adventure type thing, and we might make it, the other part is we might make it like part of Joe's bachelor party kickoff.
Sweet. I can dig that.
So I'm kind of letting him kind of pick the people too, so.
I don't blame you.
You know, maybe Marcus will make it again, and I'll give him an arm sleeve. That poor dude.
Oh, man.
But I'm looking forward to it, man. There is definitely outdoor adventures happening. It's just like I got to get these cameras up before all this stuff starts, because if I don't, it's
going to
be
man.
September and I'm not going to have any cameras in the woods.
That's how I feel, man. But we're getting there. I'm going to get them out. You're going to get them out. We're going to be freaking
rolling in no time, man.
Well, we're going to be deep in the photos, man. I can't wait.
Yep. So before we get our guest on today, which if you looked at the title, you already know who it is, but before we do that, I want to talk about our partners.
Yeah, man. Veteran Innovative Products.
V.I. Mother P.
Dude, unreal broadheads, man. Guys, get on these things. They are the best broadhead I have ever killed a deer with. I'm telling you. I'm hands down.
I would agree with that statement. And I've killed some deers.
I done killed a deer one time.
I done tipped some shit over my days. And I'll tell you right now, this combat veteran is the real deal.
They are, man.
Get over there to veteranip.com and pick you up a pack of three.
Yeah, yeah. Get yourself some Freddy Krueger, bud, flaming.
So next would be Scree Gear.
Scree Gear, man. Get over there. You guys, get some merino wool. Check out the new patterns. Use our code WDP20 at checkout. Get yourself 20% off. Get some new apparel, guys. It's almost time, you know. Season's coming up.
ScreeGear.com. Make it happen. And last but not least,
New Canoe.
Ooh, look at that.
That was beautiful.
That was good. That was like we planned that.
Yeah.
But we didn't. Unfortunately, I got some bad news and my new canoe's a little bit more delayed. Guess they're having some issues with their supplier and plastics and whatever COVID things. So
That's sad.
I got to wait a couple more weeks, but should have my new canoe in no time.
Beautiful.
Guys, go check them out, newcanoe.com.
That's it, man. Let's get Wade on the phone,
dude. We got to get Wade on. Wade is a cool-ass dude.
Gator Outdoors.
I wish you could have met him.
I know. I'm sad.
I just hit you. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm just excited. That dude is awesome.
I'm excited, man. He's a good dude. I like
him. Yeah. Let's get him on, man. All right, guys. We are back with another exciting episode. Today, we are talking to someone from Iowa. Can you believe that, Austin?
I can't believe that. It's absolutely insane.
This is like our second Iowan ever. I think. Hey, Wade, are you native to Iowa?
Yeah. Yep. Native to Iowa.
You're the first native Iowa born person on our podcast.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm calling it now. Pretty sure he is.
Okay.
That's amazing. How does it feel growing up in the state that everybody wants to hunt?
Honestly, it doesn't even feel, I don't know. I don't even think of it that way. Honestly, I'm just used to it.
Yeah.
it's just weird, you know, you're just used to these deer and used to, you know, the lifestyle and the ground we got. So I've been obviously a ton of different places hunting and yeah, it's definitely different.
That's awesome. So we are here with Wade Borman from Gator Outdoors. And I had to get into that a little bit. It just crossed my mind that you were the first Iowa born and raised person on our podcast. Had to touch that real quick, but we usually start this podcast off with a little introduction of anybody that doesn't know who you are. So if you don't mind taking a few minutes to just kind of bring us all back to little Wade and kind of say a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to jump into the company and everything like that too.
Definitely. Born and raised actually in Jackson County, Iowa. I started out actually coon hunting. I did not have a whitetail background until probably when I was 13 or 14 years old, and I got into shotgun hunting, but coon hunting is my first love, and it will always be my last love. It's just something that always going to be with me forever. I love hounds. I just love, you know, being with the dogs on the timber, watching them work. But I started shotgun hunting probably, you know, 13, 14 years old, and fell in love with it. And there was a point in time in my life that I decided that, you know, it just isn't what, you know, it's just not a challenge. It's not what I want. Like, I love the camaraderie. I still do it, but I didn't know anybody that, like, bow hunted or, I mean, wasn't really even in the game. So I just, I bought a bow and was just watching some whitetail road trips. I mean, I was watching a ton of different things on YouTube and just kind of self-taught myself and just went full bore. And, you know, 5-6 years into it, I started probably, what, 18 years old, 19 years old.
That's awesome.
And next thing I know, here we are, you know.
Yeah.
Killing deer every year I started, and I've been very fortunate, but I put a lot of time in. And yeah, so back in, what was it, probably 2008, I graduated high school. I went into college with an environmental science degree and was going to be a federal game warden. Actually, I was going to be hired in Texas and decided not to do that and stuck to insurance that my dad did and fell in love with that and did really well. Been doing it for 10 years, very successful at it, very happy with what I do. And my mom always owned a graphic company, design company, and kind of always was involved with that through my entire life, watching her do it when I grew up. And I always thought to myself, I would like to start an outdoor brand, but what would be different than everybody else in the whitetail industry? So saturated, what would be different? You know, I kind of bounced around all the different ideas, and I know Chip City and Chris Bracker from years back, before Chris got in trouble and all that good stuff, so I kind of knew the game and how things went down, but didn't know really what I want to create for a brand. So I just kind of thought, well, we'll do the graphic design thing and kind of get in the outdoor industry that way, and then end up doing clothing design and starting my own brand. And met the Working Class guys, their team of guys, and they kind of helped me build up who I was and what I was trying to do. And now it's just taken off, and now we're going to be full-fledged into an outdoor brand completely, and we're going to be involved with whitetails to duck hunting to golf.
Awesome.
To basically, you know, workwear. We're you guys don't know this yet, but it's coming fast, and we'll always be primarily whitetails, but man, oh man, things are changing fast.
Yeah, I was not aware of that. It seems like you got a lot going on. You're getting pretty busy over there.
Yeah, it's been wild. We've just kind of been throwing ourselves at everything, kind of see what would stick, what would be different, and really just being ourselves and creating a brand that is whitetail based, but yet your name is Gator. People really don't forget that, so it's kind of been for the better.
Yeah, definitely. It was actually funny. I was talking to my wife earlier, and I said I had Gator Outdoors on. She goes, "Let me guess, they're Southern." Guess again.
Wrong again.
Yeah, a lot of people give us a hard time. They're like, "You have Gators in Iowa?" I said, "Nah, man, we don't have any Gators. Maybe at the zoo, but you know, people always ask for this where the title came from, and I always tell people, you know, it's the truth, but my dad, actually, his nickname is Gator from high school. Actually, Gates, they call him, big football player, was always on the line, and basically they would just call him the Gate, like, call him Gate. Like, he'd block the hole and was a huge football player, and his nickname kind of got slung into Gator, and then they started Gator Graphics, and I was like, you know what, let's do Gator Outdoors.
Yeah, man.
It'd be different, it'd be kind of cool, and start a brand that way, and you won't forget it.
Gator don't play no shit.
No, for real. And actually, when we started the brand, guys, I had to buy a domain name, so I said, let's just see if GatorOutdoors.com's on there. So I'm sure somebody's using it. No one even had it taken.
That's amazing.
So for $200, I bought the domain name, and here we are.
That's beautiful, man.
You can't make me laugh.
Nah,
like that.
Hilarious.
I'm going to go into a coughing fit. I love it. No, I love it. The whole story behind it and everything, the name, it's very unique. It definitely stands out. And I'll tell you right now, anytime I want to go to your website, or it doesn't take me a minute to try to remember your name of your company. It's like immediately, oh yeah, that thing was on Gator Outdoors. I got to go check it out, you know. But it's so quick and easy. And you know what? This is definitely bringing full circle back to like outfitting the working class. I get it now. Like, you know, when that first came out, that was kind of like your new slogan or whatnot. And it makes sense because you have a clothing line, right? But now you're talking, you know, golf and workwear. I mean, that's got to be really exciting for you, man.
It's very exciting, but one of the big things about what we're changing, about what basically we're blending into, is why we really do this. Why do we start this in the first place? Where we're kind of channeling to. And that's the big thing that we are leaving everybody on the cliffhanger, because that'll be coming out here in about 30 to 60 days. We're rebranding the entire company, new website, new clothing, and there'll be a lots and lots of videos. There'll be lots of YouTube and a little cliffhanger as well. That everybody will be able to be a part of it. And it's hard to tell everybody right now, but you're definitely going to be a part of it. We're going to be pushing a ton of different products, and everybody else will be able to, how do I say this, be a part of the family without having to invest too much money.
Okay. Oh, okay. I like
so
it.
So it's going to be very appealing to people right away. So we're excited for the big changes, and brought some big names on that have been in the industry for a while that will be pushing the brand and kind of giving some guidance, because we're just a small town. I live in a town of 5,000 people. You know, we're just like everybody else. We don't really know what we're doing, but we're having fun with it, and that's all that fucking matters. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, man.
That's right.
Right on, dude.
Hell yeah, man.
You know, if I fail, who cares? You know, who gives a shit? What's going to happen? Nothing. Let's push it, and let's have some fun. Let's share what we're doing, our lifestyle here, and get everybody involved, and let's have a good time.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. It's really exciting, too. I can't wait to see what's coming down the pipe.
Yeah. So, Wade, who all is behind Gator Outdoors currently? Is it just kind of you running it all by yourself, or do you have some role players that you want to shout out as well?
No, that's awesome. Actually, it's just myself. I own Gator Outdoors. My mom and my sister are full-time. I own it's a good-sized building. Actually, my grandpa owned a gas station in Preston, Iowa. He actually passed away here last year. It came up for sale. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I gotta step back. Someone I knew owned it, and then he passed, and then the couple ended up not just trying to rent it out or sell it to somebody, and I said, I'll buy it. So I bought it, not knowing what I was going to use it for. It was probably going to turn into a car wash. And then I started Gator Outdoors, so I said, you know, let's throw that in there. And then all of a sudden now they're a full-time embroidery, graphic design, apparel shop that just, they're blowing up fast, which is awesome. But my sister and my mom are full-time there. And then Jordan Johnson does a lot of my graphic design for the shirts, like all the logos and different things you see, the designs. He designs all that stuff for us, and we post that obviously on our pages. You guys see that a lot. I'm trying to think who's behind the scenes. There's a lot of local guys in my area that have always helped us just grow the brand, and, man, there's a dozen of them guys, which we can't complain about. But
that's awesome to have.
I would say that our biggest supporters here behind the scenes is definitely my local community. We're huge here. I mean, everybody's supporting it. You see the stickers on all these vehicles, side-by-sides. T-shirts, everybody's wearing all the gear. It's just awesome to see. And when we post stuff, they're the first ones to share it and blow it up and let the world know what we're doing.
That's awesome, man. It's great to have support like that. I mean, just even in your local community, I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, it's unheard of, because, you know, being a small town, there's a lot of people that, you know, man, you know, that some people get jealous, or some people get mad, mm-hmm. or, yep. you know, you're not that good of a hunter, or whatever it is. You know, you got those people, and, you know, around here, I can't complain. I don't have it. If they are like that, they don't seem like it to me. So everybody pushes what I got going on, and 100% supports, and I support them and what they do. So,
yeah.
And they know that, you know.
That's awesome to hear, because a lot of times you'll see it where one person in a small town becomes successful, and then a lot of the people that are closest to them, you know, they let jealousy take over, and they're usually the biggest haters are the people that actually knew them and that we're close and, you know him personally. And then people from, you know, Pennsylvania like us that don't have a clue who you are outside of meeting at the shoot, you know, we're big supporters and big fans of what you're doing. And that little thing is, it stands true pretty much everywhere, but I'm glad to hear that it's not quite that way for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty respectful around here, so I've been happy with that. I mean, it's a family brand. It's been around forever. It's proven.
It's awesome.
You know, with the other side of the business that my mom's been in, so. Yeah, we're very well respected around here, and I do appreciate everybody that supports us.
I have a picture I have to share with you. I took a picture with your hat. It made it to PNC Park here in Pittsburgh, so I gotta send that over to you.
Oh, dope. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I figured you'd like that. But I am now, like I said, a proud owner of a Gator Outdoors hat and T-shirt. I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, that's the funny thing right now is I would say our the way we have things going on with the website right now and everything, it's got a small town feel to it. It's authentic. I'm not going to say it's not quality. I'm not saying it's not that, but I would say it's different because the pictures of the clothing are actually the pictures. It's not a special graphic, which that obviously be changing with what we got going on because we have so many different lines coming out. But I would literally just take a picture of the shirt and just post it on the website and say, here it is, $20. It's just kind of cool because it would just fly and people are like, yeah, that's dope. I want to check it out. Yeah, stop by the shop or buy it. And if something didn't fit or didn't work, they just resend it to me and I'd take, you know, the shipping in the ass, which is no big deal, and I'd ship it back. You know, I didn't care. I'm just trying to get the brand out there, which I still am. So
right.
I think that's what people love about the most is it's a small town feel to it, and they know that they got someone backing their brand and they're not worried about what's going to come or not come.
I want you to get into the website a little bit. Now that you mentioned it, that was the next avenue I wanted to take. I want you to break it down a little bit because when you go into your website, you kind of you come into your like your main page and then you go to your shop, and then there's a few different name brands there that you work with, and then there's the Gator Outdoors gear. So I want you to kind of break that down for us and kind of break down maybe your product line and how it became.
Yeah, so what actually happened was when I first started the company, I'm a dealer, so I'm a dealer for lots of different brands. And then we kind of noticed that how much we were selling on our own, so of ourselves. And we're like, you know what, we can, and especially during COVID, when COVID hit, it was, we can't control what we have percent correct. We just couldn't, I mean, it didn't matter what company it was, if it was, you know, XLP or any tree stand company or hunting company or brand or camouflage, whatever it was, we couldn't keep finding out, you know, if what they have in stock or not in stock. And we couldn't keep the website up. We just don't have the overhead of people to help us out. We're too new in the game. So we had to really just dig down deep and worry about ourselves and go on that route. But what happened when I first started the business, I got into just being a dealer and putting apps in and meeting people, shaking hands and trying to get them to trust and believe in what we do. And all came down to what do I already believe in. So the companies that you see on the website, that are, if they're even on there right now, are companies that I personally use and believe in. So, and that's it. Stuff that I can tell people about that I know will either A, help them in what they're doing, or B, you know, teach them to do whatever they're doing better. So my big thing was, if I believe in a company and I've been using them, they're going to go on the website. If I don't know them at all, then we're going to talk a little bit. And I'm going to try their product out for a while. And, yeah, that's just how I started the website, really, was what I believe in, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Now, you have a pretty cool theme that I really like about one product in particular, and that is your Kill Cap. Your Kill Cap is freaking awesome, man. Can you get in a little bit behind, like, the idea behind it and where it came from and I guess why you came up with it, but also I think it's freaking awesome. So I just want to hear about it a little more if nobody knows what it is.
Yeah, so what we were doing is we've been trying to, and this is what the new launch is going to be, try to create things or brands or things that you can relate to that you want to be a part of that it's more than itself, okay? I wish I could really explain what's going to happen because you're going to go, oh, that makes sense. When it comes out, like, oh, that's freaking sweet. I get it now. We want to, when you buy something from us, it's more than just the hat or the T-shirt or whatever the gear is that you bought. There's something tied into it, okay? And that you're a part of something bigger than just a hat and you're a number and thank you for your order.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good day. So my team, Jordan Johnson, actually, we had some great ideas that we kind of ran through together. Basically came up with the Kill Cap that if you killed something wearing the hat and you sent us the photo, you know, whitetail, whatever have you, that you had during the season, and sent us a photo, we'd post you on our page congratulating you with your kill and wearing the hat and the gear and shit you bought from us, and then we'd send you the kill shirt that's only exclusive to people who do that. So it became a very large, I mean, I don't even know, I don't know how many hats we sold right away. We had probably close to 75 hats in the first week that we sold. And we were just getting started, which was crazy. And it was all online. And it was all these places. It wasn't even really local. It was all the East Coast or the South or the West Coast. Nothing really in the Midwest, which is crazy. I bet the PA people, I bet we sold 50 of them hats from PA.
Who?
I mean, had to have been.
Well, we pride ourselves in a pretty deep hunting tradition of killing shit, so
yeah, I'm not even joking. So yeah, we did that, and I'm not, it's just been taken off, and I had people like that were hitting me up back in January. Dude, when's the Killer Hat coming out? I'm like, dude, it's coming, like, in a shirt. Yep, yep, it's coming, which I didn't have it designed yet. And they're like, it's coming. I'm like, yep, yep, it's coming. Just relax. And, dude, I need it now. I'm like, okay, well, it's not even season yet. Oh, I'm going to go do this. And I'm like, ah, shit, all right. Well, then hold on. Let me get stuff designed and get it out and get it posted. Because really, no one's going to be buying them until probably September, August.
Right.
You know, around there. So I'm like, damn it all. So what I did was we hurried up and designed it up, and we threw it out there to the world, and it was taking off again. I'm like, is it the second season we did it? This is the third.
Your third, because you started in 2019. Right?
Yeah, or we had the green eye, we had the red eye, and then we switched to the badge, which the next year is going to be completely different, which I cannot wait for that one to come out. But yeah, the keel head is something that you're definitely part of the family when you get that going. And I've got guys right now that have had, which you can still buy the throwback. You can go back in the day and buy the first and second year one. But I got guys right now that have killed something every year with those hats on, and they got a hell of a B-roll coming right now. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool because the shirts that they get right after they kill with the hat and they take the picture, those are unique just to those people. They're the only ones that get those shirts, right? Yeah, that's the cool part behind it.
Yeah, and this is something that's going to be coming out big time, because what we're doing is we're white labeling different products and companies that are coming in. So there's quite a few, about a dozen different companies that will be throwing in their gear as well if you're a part of this $25 hat. It's a $25 hat, and it's worth a lot more than that.
Okay. All right.
If you kill something, dude, it's a lot bigger than that.
Well, I am already going to be building an order here, because the Make Turkeys Flop Again shirt is incredible. I see that, you know, you got Cryptek, man. You have True Timber. And the Strata pattern I absolutely love. So I love that you do a lot with them and their Strata pattern, because that is just so, so sick.
I'll be out in Spartanburg, South Carolina in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah?
I'll be with True Timber here in a couple of weeks, actually. We're going over some things, which is going to be good and fun. So
that's awesome, man.
I'm pretty excited for that.
That's awesome. This is like a good feel story, you know, good old boy from Iowa that finds hunting, you know, well, archery hunting and deer hunting, you know, in a later age. And man, I'm super pumped for everything that you're building and everything to see what's coming out. I'm kind of bummed we did this, you know, could have waited 30 days and we'd have all the secrets right now, but now I got to wait, you know. It's like your new show's about to premiere in 30 days. Damn it.
Yeah, no one's getting secrets. I've been on three or four podcasts that I'm not letting it out yet. We're going to let that one just marinate a little bit longer. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to be the one posting, and I want to be the one pushing it. But
I don't blame you.
I want to back up quick.
Yeah,
I want to back up quick on the website, because I want to let a lot of people know this.
Yeah.
So the quality that we're coming out with is going to be a lot different than what we've been posting. So recently what we've done the past couple of years is what we could afford to give the public. We've always wanted to give more and do better quality and to be, you know, this image. But we can never afford to. But finally, after coming into our second to third year, we've grown enough now where, we can finally get some real good quality stuff out there, change some logos up, and make things really, really attractive. So that's where we're going with it. I just want people to know we're not just a bland company. We're going to come out with some really, really cool things, and it'll be very eye-catching, that's for sure.
That's awesome.
I like it.
You know, one thing we got to touch about too, you know, on the website, you can also order wraps, and you can wrap trailers and boats and vehicles. And
yeah,
I see you do some custom stuff. I might have to get a hold of you and see if you can do my landscaping business for me. Just come to PA, man. I'll fly you into Pittsburgh and you can just come wrap my trailer for me. What do you think?
There you go. Yeah, you can do that.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm really, really pumped for you. Like I said, I can't wait to see what comes out. It's kind of a bummer. You know, I'm sure we could talk all day on some of the new stuff, but I don't want you to release it too early. I want you to leave us and our listeners on that cliffhanger for sure. And I kind of want to get into some hunting talk, but I want to give you an opportunity if there's anything else about the business that we didn't touch that you want to talk about real quick.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Perfect.
And this is the cliffhanger, actually. I want to leave on the business side of things.
Okay.
I like it.
And this is really, I want you guys to dig deep. I want everybody that listens to dig deep, because why you're on this podcast, why you're talking to me, why you're even doing this in the part of your life that you're in right now. and why you spend all this time hunting. Why is it? Okay. Why though? Yeah, it's fun. Yep. It's your passion. Okay. We get that. Okay. It's in your nature. Cool. Cabela says it every day. Tell me, really think about it. Really think about it. Why do you do this?
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys don't answer now,
mm-hmm.
but I want everybody to think about that. Cause when we come out with what we're doing, people are going to go, holy shit. Here we go. We're going for a ride. So that's what I want everybody to know, that what we have done so far in the past few years has been fun, but to me has not been the quality that I want to be. And we have gotten to the point now and the rebranding and a few people that have joined, we are going to explode in the stratosphere of just one reason only. Why are we doing this?
Okay.
And everybody will completely relate to it. You guys will all relate to it, and it'll be the coolest thing you've ever seen. I'm telling you right now. I'm a salesman by nature. I do this for a living. But
I couldn't tell.
100%, guys. you're gonna be going every day. You're gonna go, yep. I'm a part of the Gator family. 100%. And it's not gonna change anything you're doing now with your entire life. It's just gonna be something that you completely 100% relate to, and that you just feel good about. It's going to be that feel-good, relatable brand that, yep, there they are, love them. That's it. It's not going to be 200-inch bucks every single day, which would be cool. We'll post them. But it's going to be every day the lifestyle of Gator.
I like it, man.
And you guys are going to – and the lifestyle of Gator is going to be everybody. So that's the big thing we're going to be doing. So that's what I'm going to leave you with. It's kind of very broad, but when you get to it, it's going to be very narrow.
Yeah, man. We're going deep. I like it. I'm so down for it. I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm fired up.
But what I want is the feelings. Like I want that. Like, I want people to go, man, it's just heartfelt. That's just what you want, is raw, heartfelt. Yep. That I want this all the time.
Yeah. Got that burning in my belly.
That's
what it is, you know? It's that burning inside. That's for sure.
Yeah. I will tell you, I will tell you in a couple of weeks, hard to say it this way, because I'm not sure how everything, the rebranding is going to go, but in a few weeks here, we will have the first video transition of where we're going into, and it will just be a 100% video clip, short, probably 60-second, 30-second sizzle video. It'll be 7 or 8 continuous videos after that each week of where our direction is going to. It'll take about 2 months to fully go through, and then the rebrand will kick in, and everybody will be able to be a part of it.
Sweet. Looking forward to that.
So... yeah, awesome. It's going to be really cool to watch.
So I guess we're kind of at a good time then bringing you on now, just ahead of, you know, a lot of big moves. It's kind of a good time to announce something like that, you know, that is coming in just a little bit. You know, just hold on a little bit longer. Gator's going to take care of you.
No, it's going to be just a fun thing to everybody be a part of, and that won't replace anyone else in what they're doing. It's going to be something that goes, yep, there's Gator. Glad to be a part of them.
Yeah.
Awesome. I like it.
Well, I sweet.
Want. All right. Well, I can't wait for it.
Dude.
But we got to talk hunting.
Yeah, that's where I'm trying to go here. I'm feeling it, man.
So I was listening to your little intro before, and I picked up on something that is like totally foreign to a lot of the people that probably listen to this. Because a lot of people in this area, it's very strong, rich hunting culture. We grew up in it. You kind of taught yourself how to hunt deer and archery hunting, and you start at a later age. That's something, like I said, that is completely foreign to us. You know, Austin and I, we grew up, I started hunting when I was 12 years old, when you legally can in PA, but, you know, my dad hunted, my grandfather, all my uncles, cousins, brothers, everybody I pretty much knew in my inner circle growing up, they all hunted. What was it like to be able to teach yourself at an older age? And I also want to know kind of what was some of the resources that you used to teach yourself how to hunt and be successful? Because you said you've pretty much killed a buck every year since you were 18. And that's impressive, dude. Like, really impressive. I don't care where you're at in this country.
So my main, we got to back up. So I've hunted everything but deer until I was able to hunt deer of my age. So I've always hunted. So I won't get out of the way. But then when deer season hit, I was always shotgun. I've never really had someone to teach me actually bow hunting. So I've been killing bucks since then up to my 18. My first bow kill, I think, was, I don't even know how old I was. Probably 5-6 years ago. So I was probably in my mid-20s.
Okay.
24. That 18, during college and stuff, I didn't have a whole lot of time to put towards bow hunting, but I was always completely infatuated by it. Loved the dance of it. I just absolutely just loved watching Michael Waddell, watching the juries, watching all them guys just killing big bucks, and just the science of it was always very appealing. And then one day I was deer hunting, shotgun hunting, and like I just killed another deer and another wall hanger, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just not getting that feeling anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not doing it for me. But I mean, I eat the deer. I mean, that's what I eat all year round. Obviously, we're in Iowa, so we have, you know, plenty of cattle, plenty of burger to eat. But I mean, deer is my go-to. I mean, I love deer, but I just one day said I'm just gonna pick up a bow and run with it. I guess I don't know. I just wanted to have a challenge, and I spent 24 days. I think it was 24 straight days in a tree. 25 or 24, something like that, 26, I don't know, somewhere in there. And all day sits, never left the tree. Went home at night. Next morning, I had a month and a half off from work. I was very fortunate for that and finally killed a buck. It was probably mid-130s, lower 130s. Super jacked up, was an awesome hunt, killed him, and never looked back. I thought, I got to do this, and it's been a trip. It's been a trip, boys. It's been a trip.
Dude, that's awesome.
Buddy, yeah. That is intense, man. That is a lot of all-day sits. I give you mad
holy
props
shit.
For that. Holy hell.
No, I didn't. Dude, I'm different, though. I my main thing was I didn't want to fail. I was going to kill a deer. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to have that feeling. I passed up a lot of different bucks, but, dude, I don't know. You know, I sat one night. I'll bring this up. One night, actually, my second year hunting, I had a nice – I still think it's probably 150s. I haven't seen the buck again or ever again since then. I was sitting in the tree, and he came about, but right about dark, couldn't kill him, obviously, and sat in the tree for a while because he just was so close. So I texted my girlfriend at the time and said, hey, I'm probably not coming home. And she said, why? I said, well, I'm going to sit in this tree till morning and see if he's here. He's bedding close to me somewhere. I can't leave and bust him out, you know. And she goes, all right, that's fine. The Iowa Hawkeyes played that night, and she got super loaded, had a good time. I was like, I don't care, whatever. And then about daybreak, you know, I fell asleep a few times, don't get me wrong. I'm a cooner, dude. I'm used to the dark. Woke up and, you know, it was just kind of getting daybreak and couldn't find that buck anywhere. It was about an hour in. I was so pissed I left. And I was like, God damn it. But, you know, he must have snuck out at some point. Didn't know it. But I don't know. I was just like, dude, I was so wired. Like, I'm gonna kill a buck, man. Like, I want to, just for myself, nobody else. And still that way. It's always just a challenge, you know?
Man, so I got to spend a night in a tree.
I'm just wired a little different, I guess.
Yeah, what were you hunting out of that you were able to spend an entire night up in the tree?
Big game tree stand.
Oh, my God. Oh, bud, you probably felt terrible the next day. I can't even imagine that.
Dude, I'm 275 pounds. I need a big game. What else can I can't use a lone wolf. Break it in half. 11-pound weight, whatever you guys talk about with that shit. Dude, I'll break that in half with my knee.
I was thinking
for me to walk around my 14-foot boot.
Yeah, I was thinking I could do something like that in my climber, but, I mean, there's no point in me staying all night. I'm going to fall asleep, I'm going to snore, and I'm going to scare everything in the woods completely out of there, so I might as well just leave anyways.
Yeah, I loved it. I Summit Climbers, dude, I use them. That's my go-to. That's my mobile setup. That's the only way I'm mobile, is with a climber. I can't put sticks up, and it just takes me too long, and I'm hot and sweaty, and just can't do it.
I'm right there with you, man, with the Summit Climbers, though. There is something about them. They are comfortable. They are a great go-to.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
That's probably my favorite stand. I've been using a lot of River's Edge hang-ons and their sticks and complain. I love River's Edge. I'm probably going to use them the day I die if they stay a company.
I mean, I like it. I honestly do. I love the intensity. I love the fact that, you know, and before, as I did misspeak, I was mostly talking about archery hunting, you know, and that you got into it late. Man, it just, there's something about it. And we've talked to a few people that are just kind of like, they're more on the line of like adult onset hunters where they kind of started hunting late, but the archery thing kind of starting late as well. It just seems like there's more drive, you know, there's more. Yeah. Of, like you said, trying to find that feeling, because everybody knows if you've killed a deer with your bow, doesn't matter what it is, buck, doe, doesn't really matter. Every deer with your bow is a trophy.
Or the animal, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. That feeling is what we chase. Like, that is what we try to mimic and try to, it's, you know, I hate to do it, but it's that high, right? And that's what you compare it to.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to find and do over again. So the fact that you put in 24 straight days, because you were committed to that feeling and you didn't even know what it was yet. But you knew that it was something that you wanted to obtain and you did it. That is just absolutely incredible, man.
Well, I was just, yeah, that's the big thing is I was learning, you know, learning the process.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a process I knew I had to put more time in than everybody else because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Per se.
That's what I asked you, like what resources you used to get to that point. You used your own resources. You just hunted a lot. You just did the work.
Yeah, I didn't have a resource. You know, there wasn't a person I can call. I just kind of, I watched some YouTube videos. I mean, I kind of just stared down their setups like, okay, that's obviously a tree stand. They have a couple straps on it. Hey, they have a rope that's making them not die when they fall out. You know, I'm watching different things. You know, I was completely brain dead. I didn't know anything. I was just a flatliner walker that doesn't know a whole bunch and just shotgun hunting, you know, pushing the timber out. So,
yep.
You know, I just kept on doing this and that, and I'd buy things, and then people call me out. I'm like, oh, you need to do this, man. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I'll do that. And then, oh, my, like, oh, nowhere. I was like 3-4 years in. I'm like, I got this, guys. And let's challenge myself, and that's what brought me to last year. Actually, the year prior, and then this year, it kind of built up, domino effect. Big buck then bigger buck, and then one-upping myself on a boat ride down the Mississippi River and jumping on an island and killing a buck the first morning. So that was all pretty dope.
That's awesome, man. I kind of want to get into that a little bit. I want to hear that story. I mean, how was last year? How did your season go?
I mean, last year, I've been watching a buck. Actually, I saw him one time the year prior. Let's put it this way. The year prior, and I thought he was 150s then. He had to have been close and was a stud. And that was right after, actually it was 2 weeks after, I shot the buck I wanted to shoot, which was probably mid-140s, shot him. And that was actually on my own land I recently bought back then, which was pretty cool. And then I still had my actual tag left. So that was my landowner tag I burned up. Then I had an actual statewide tag for Iowa, and ended up seeing this buck, and then next year didn't see him to the year after, like on the day, and then shot him, which was crazy. Kind of saw him on camera a couple times on our reveals that we had hanging out, those effect cam reveals, and then the next day kind of got onto him, and yep, it was game over. It was super cool.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, we always talk about like that historical data in the same days and same week certain bucks show up, and it's done us good. I mean, yeah. Austin killed his buck on a historical data day that we went in and put him in the spot where I had my camera the year before, and you know, got it done. But we're just now getting in more to like the cell cam life too, and I'm looking forward to this year. I got like four or five to put up still, and looking forward to it, man. I can't wait to see just what it's going to bring different to the game. You know, just to kind of take out some of the guessing to where, you know, do I go to this property, that property, where are the bucks moving, when are they moving? It's live data. We don't have to wait a year anymore to get that, you know. It's I'm really excited for it. I'm sure you love it as well, and you've used it obviously to your benefit, and it's worked out for you for a success.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I end up last year, after I shot Captain and Coke, that mid-150s buck, I still had my statewide tag left, or my Iowa tag, and always want to go down river and just jump on some island on the Iowa side and find a buck, you know, just no cameras, nothing, just kind of just jump up in a tree and, you know, see what's going on. And I left, it was actually pretty late the next morning I left. It was probably, I think right when I got on the river, it was hitting daybreak.
Yeah.
It was a 20-minute ride down river. I jumped on an island. And, I mean, I still had just enough light, so it was kind of in that, like, haze light where I just got to the tree and was just getting everything set up, so it was bright enough now. It was shooting hours, and started to climb up the tree, and then a doe just, like, bust right by me, but didn't even know I was there. So I'm like, oh, she's going nuts for a reason. You know, it's first week of November. There's obviously something chasing her.
Right. Yeah.
So I kind of look in that direction, and there's just, like, a large dike on top, and that buck come up. Ran that dike, and he screamed and yelled, trying to slow down. And he finally slowed down, and I'm sitting on the ground next to the tree, and it's kind of buried my back against the tree and let an arrow fly and smoked him. I think he dumped 15, 20 yards, you know, next to the river. And I just kind of just sat down. I go, that was the coolest fucking thing ever. That was the coolest thing ever. You know, I was more jacked than shooting my mid-150s and that I've watched for a year. You know, it was just like, dude, it was just a feeling. And then got them, throw them on the boat, the fly bottom, take them up river. I mean, when I got back to the dock and got back home, I don't know how many beers I drank, but I drank all of them for sure.
Drank every last one of them.
Drank all of them. I love it, man. What was kind of your mindset going into that? I know you said you kind of always wanted to hop on an island and do that, but like, where did that come from? Did you do like some digital scouting, or did you just idea just kind of pop in your head one day and you just decided to go down river and find an island, or how'd that, what kind of went into that?
I was just tired of everybody fucking kayaking. I was like, dude, I got a boat. I'm going on the Mississippi River. I'm going to be a man. I don't know. Nothing wrong with everybody kayaking and shit and, you know, doing public ground. And that's the cool thing. I mean, everybody's doing it. I don't know. I work hard. I had a nice boat. I said, I'll just take my boat, dude. I don't need a kayak. I don't know. It was just something, you know, just on my bucket list. And
yeah,
I was hitting on my bucket list. I said, let's gamble. Let's just go on the river and really ball out and go somewhere no one's at that they can't control, and you don't know what's going to be there. I think that's what's really cool. You know, everybody like you guys, every lot of people dream about Iowa and what's behind every tree. You know, we kind of know, like, there's not that many big bucks. It's not a 140 or 150 behind every tree. It's just there are some big deer here. It's just, you know, you got to find them. That's the kind of the concept I was having that a lot of people out of Iowa would have on these islands, is we really don't know what's behind each tree because it's the swamps. I mean, you don't know what's out there. So I think that was the main thing for me was, man, what if I just kill some slob out here on the river, right? That, like, it's just a river buck, super dirty and just a fucking beast. So I don't know. I think that was exciting more than anything else I was doing this season, honestly.
No, that's absolutely badass, man. That's got to be one from my bucket list too. I might steal that from me. I got to do that now.
We call those swamp donkeys.
Yeah.
Those big boys. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to be rude to like the kayakers and stuff, but like, it was getting so saturated. I'm like, yeah, I can get up in a kayak, but I don't know if I'd even fit in one. I'm so goddamn big. But you know, I can't. I don't know. It's just everyone's doing the kayaking thing. I'm like, I have the Mississippi River like 2 minutes from me. I'm just gonna jump on my boat and go down the river. Like, let's try it. I mean, it's a lot of these, you know, I call them Hall of Famers around here that have killed a lot of big bucks. We're all in the river, and no one really wants to put in the works just to fill your boat up with gas and drive down the river. I don't know. No one wants to do it. So I was like, I'll do it. I'm going to do it every year now. I don't even care.
Yeah, man. I can't blame you. I can't blame you one bit. I got to be honest. I do the kayak thing, but, you know, that's because I don't have a fucking boat.
No, I'm just giving you a shit. Like that's just like you, the public land thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody's kind of following that route. And I'm like, and I get it, but like people just do it too much. I don't know, expose it too much. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just
getting no. You're not. On. You're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. Like it's to the point now where like if you don't, and I won't say the kayak part, but if you don't go kill your deer on public land and you don't hang and hunt and you don't do all this stuff mobile and this and that, you're not like worthy of certain people that kill a buck once every 5-6 years, but you know, they're the greatest hunter ever because they killed on public. Well, come on,
so,
man.
Yeah.
You know, we're in Pennsylvania. Yeah, our public land's tough.
Yeah.
Our private land's tough. Okay, a lot of our private land that we hunt is not just our private land. You know, anybody can hunt it, basically. And everybody does. You know, it's just as tough. If I kill a nice buck on public land here or private land here, I'll be honest, it's not much different. I've grown up hunting both. We've always hunted both,
yeah.
You know, Austin and I, because we didn't grow up with big giant tracts of land that we have sole permission to. That just doesn't exist here in our world. You know, you got to hunt public land. We have a camp up in the Allegheny National Forest that's 80-some thousand acres. It's all ours, but it's also his and yours and everyone else's. You know, we still bump into people. It's amazing that we still bump into people 2 miles back, you know, sometimes. But no, you're not wrong. It is totally getting to the point where it's causing arguments and it's just stuff that... It's negative for hunting that we don't need. We don't need that stuff, you know, in hunting. It's public land. Congratulations. You know, like, where's your cookie?
This is what's, no shit. And this is what I'm laughing at right now, because the way we have Gator formed right now, people are going to go, thank God, no more of this shit that we're talking about right now. I'm dead serious right now. You're going to go, wow, there's, you know, none of that. So I just want to let you know that's where we're going with it. And people are going to go, people just relate to it. It's going to be really cool, guys. You're going to like it a lot, because there's no showboating. It's not about the biggest deer, the smallest buck. You know, it's not about this or that or methods. Yep. It's going to be why we're doing this, and that's it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be kind of cool. But, dude, guys, you guys should definitely jump in a boat sometime and come down the Mississippi. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we have like the Allegheny River here that we float every year. Yep. It's kind of like, you know, just a traditional thing that we do and for fun and drink some beer and we go down in the canoe and we have a lot of fun. But, dude, every island we hit, Austin, like, there's deer sign.
Oh, 100%.
You know, there's deer sign out on these islands. And I've talked about the same thing, you know, especially in rifle season. We talked about it last year. But, again, the boat I have is, like, totally unreliable. You have no idea if the motor's going to start. So that's why I actually went out and purchased a better kayak that I can use basically as a boat. Throw a motor on it, throw a trolling motor on it, whatever. Go up and down these river spots. And I know people that do it now. They kill freaking studs every year because the minute the bang bang happens and the Orange Army moves in, all these deer just flock straight down over the hill into the river.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it so many times.
It's honestly one of the greatest ways, one of the greatest methods, you know, to stay concealed, to stay quiet. I mean, you're going to take up to the stream and just kind of, you know, and then just hang and bang off. It's very smart. I mean, you're out of the wind and or scent. I mean, it's just a smart, smart method that a lot of people just don't do. And, you know, I was kind of worried about that with my boat because I'm very scent conscious. I mean, this is who I am. And then being in a two-stroke motor and the fumes and everything else. And so what I did was when I was on the way down, I would completely just wear nothing when I was going to wear hunting and then got dressed. It was super fucking cold. and everything was frozen solid. But I'll be honest, you know, when I got there, I just changed and I mean, I was pretty good. But you just couldn't wear the shit you wanted to wear in a tree that you wore driving down the river. So it's just tough.
The other good part about that too, Wade, is that if you get wet or anything going in, you know, you're putting dry, clean, scent-free clothes on too. So, you know, yeah it's going to be cold and miserable, but once you get the good clothing on and you're up in your tree, then you're comfortable.
Yep, 100%, 100%.
That's actually a really good tip because Austin and I tried that the one day. We tried to kayak through a pond that was completely frozen over.
It was huge. It didn't even look frozen over. We got there. We had the perfect plan in place. You know, we were going to go in. We were going to kill huge deer. That we did all our digital scouting. We were going to be, you know, the hunting public, I guess. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about here. But we got there in the morning and we're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. It was perfect. And we get our kayaks loaded up, everything. We get down and we start in and it was like 4 inches of ice.
This is the day I bought my scupper plugs because I didn't realize when you throw your gear and stuff in the back of a kayak that you're now weighted down to the point where the water's coming in and my shit got soaked. But we did not go in the kayaks that day.
Yeah.
We didn't make it across the ice. We tried. I'm telling you right now, we put our damn effort in. We were breaking ice. I was breaking it, just shifting the kayak back and forth, breaking it with my paddle. We made it about 30 feet in the first hour.
Yeah, and then there were no deer left in the county from all the noise that we made. Oh, man, it was crazy.
So we went in and went on foot and tried to do, like, some hunt scout, and I ended up killing a deer that day.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Well, what do you got planned for this year, man? You got any trips planned? Or you got any out-of-state going on? Are you just excited about any deer this year that made it through the season last year? What do you got going on for the future?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've already been in Texas this year. Shot a MUFON and IBEX down in Texas. Actually, it was actually a pen hunt. Never done that before. Wasn't really, obviously, challenging. It was something different outside the box. It's legal. I was invited down, and I did it. And actually, it was really fun. Don't know if I'd ever do it again, but it was a good time. Ended up trying to go to the Black Hills. Now this will be my second year. This will be my third trip, so I've gotten, like, 3,500 miles on this trip now. Trying to get a goddamn turkey in the Black Hills, dude. I just cannot get it done. Good friends of mine, the Buckstorm boys in Utah, they're always out there and trying to make a little trip out of it. I think it would make this an annual trip, honestly, if they want to keep doing it. It's really fun.
That would be absolutely incredible. And, you know, it's actually kind of cool that you're getting out there with the Buckstorm guys and getting after it. That would be a hell of a trip, man.
The Black Hills turkey thing, that's talking right up my alley for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, jeez. So then, I mean, I hunted back here already in Iowa, got my gobbler then, and then booking that bear hunt with the working class boys in Wyoming, Alpine, Wyoming. I booked it again for next year. That was a super fucking fun hunt, but not in shape for it whatsoever, so I've been working out ever since. I think I'm down 21 pounds right now since that hunt, just trying to get in shape for that bear hunt, because I thought I could be able to handle the altitude, everything going on, and or the elevation, and man, I just couldn't do it. just worn out. It just got to me. I think camp's at 7,000 feet, 7,500, and where the Bears are going is about 10.5.
Wow.
And it's not much, but man, oh man.
I mean, that's still ass. Something.
Good thing you're used to that elevation in Iowa.
Yeah, the elevation. I think mine's 600.
Yeah. We talked to Kurt last week about that a little bit and kind of what he went through. I think the elevation in Iowa, I mean, Illinois was 12. I think Iowa might be 8. Eight yeah, feet at the
right
highest.
Now, where I'm at right now is probably 4.5. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I told the boys that there when we're sitting there, the guy and everybody Trey and them, and Trey goes, what's the elevation where you're at? I said, fucking 400. He goes, what? And I'm like, yeah, dude, the biggest hill I climb is probably 800 feet, and I'm passing out that.
Nobody's ever prepared for the elevation.
Yeah, there's no way to prepare for it. What are you going to do?
No, everybody's just kind of like, I'm going to go out there. I'll figure it out. When you get out there, he just whoops you, man, over and over and over again. Yeah. And by the time you're about to leave, you feel like you're starting to get a little bit better, and then it's just horrible.
Yeah. The main thing is you just got to be in shape for it. And I wasn't even close to even in shape for what I was about to do, and I thought I could just handle it.
Yeah. Is that like a lung capacity thing, Wade? Is that what the biggest thing is? Like your lungs just aren't built for it or what?
You know, I can't really tell you what. It's a different feeling. If people haven't been that high, you know, with that elevation, it's different. It's you're just not getting the oxygen. Like you're trying to breathe hard, but it's just you're just not getting any out of it. You know, and you're just like, man, I'm really like lightheaded, and you just can't do it. And you feel like your heart's like, you know, beating through mud. It's kind of weird.
Sucking wind.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worse than that. It feels like someone kicked you in the gut, and like you're knocking wind out of you. And you just can't get it going. It's just a lot of pressure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
I was looking forward to that bear hunt. You know, I was just about to sign up for it, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Dude, that hunt does look epic for real, though. Like, absolutely incredible.
To finish this conversation up for you guys, now we're basically on a whitetail season. That's my focus now. You know, I'm definitely so the property I own is very hot. It's a good spot, but there hasn't been anything really on camera yet, which is it's not going to for another couple of months. And it's just how things are in my area. A part of me doesn't want to have anything big on my own property because I do want to go on the river. So there's actually a buck I've been watching for a couple of years now, and I have him narrowed down to the weeks, like, just by seeing him, by driving by him. So I would say this here, he's got to be mid-180s, probably touching 190, got to be close.
Whew.
Damn.
Is my guess. He was probably 170 last year, so I think he's got to have blown up. I haven't had cameras yet because I won't see him until getting close to the rut. So that's a tough thing. I know where he comes out of. I know what he's doing. And the field I have permission to hunt, the area I have permission to hunt, is basically hunting. It's going to be where he's going to be chasing his does at. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So I don't have permission to actually hunt the actual timber he's in, but I will have permission to hunt an area that he will be in when it's the rut. The fringes, I'll put it that way, because that's how he was the past couple of years, and I get to drive by at 7, 8 in the morning. There he was. So my personal page, I probably won't share this so nobody hears that because they're probably going to guess where I'm at. But this actual podcast, so I want them knowing where I'm going. But
yeah, I don't blame you, man.
He's right now what I'm dreaming about because I know what he's going to look like. I've had him on Snapchat. I've had him on all kinds of stuff, just hanging out, just being stupid, 15 yards from my truck. Like, I got him narrowed down. It was just, when I saw him, it was after my tags are full. I mean, I couldn't, you know, get on them. There was just no way I could do it legally. So this year, I think that it'd be hard to, because I probably won't see him until probably November. And even if he's alive, because I have no idea what that ground looks like, you know, if he's even around. I know no one shotgun hunts it, but
plays a big part, man.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, if I don't see anything, that's what I'm loving about these text cam reveals right now, because I know what's going to be there. Like, I know they don't tell the entire story on the property, but I am going to find out if he's in the area, this deer I've been watching on my own. So if he's not really showing up by November, then I know my primary focus is going to be. And then I always have that fallback where, hey, if I'm having bad luck, let's just go do what I wanted to do. Go down the river and shoot a buck.
There you go.
So, yeah.
I get it. No, it makes it a little.
Where I'm at. I mean, that I think I'll ever want to do. There's nothing really I want to chase. I think that, you know, if I have a nice buck, I'll chase it, but I love that feeling of not knowing what you're getting into.
Nope.
And there's no one else around. There's no gravel road. It's just you. It's perfectly quiet. You know, it's just this feeling of, of loneliness, which I thought I really loved, okay? And what I'm saying is I thought I loved it because when I was in Wyoming, guys, that's being lonely.
Yeah.
Because you're off the grid and you're nowhere and you see nothing and it's dark, dark because the mountains are covering the moon and the sun. So you're like, this is fucking scary shit. Like, this is the real deal.
Yeah, man.
And that's how I was thinking, okay, now I can't do anything about it because we are super alone. And actually, I thought I would really love it because I'm a loner at work, a loner with everything I do. And when I was out there, dude, that's just empty. It's super emptiness feeling that you just don't have anywhere else. You're like, you know what? I can't even talk to anyone. Like, there's no way I can even, you know, have a conversation. Like, there's nothing out here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you. And it was, like, super lonely. I go, this freaks me out. You know?
That's a little too far from civilization.
Yeah, my next conversation is going to be 8 miles away if I make it through.
Yeah, man.
Really think about it. I mean, we easily walk, what, 300-400-500 yards maybe back from our stand to the truck. I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, we're not walking that far. So, and people in the dark, I ain't going in the dark doing that. What's going to kill you? A coyote? Come on, they're not going to touch you. But, you know, being out there made me a different person in a lot of different ways, which is awesome. I brought back here that I'll go, okay, this is nothing, dude. This is nothing. So that's the way I think. But, yeah, being a cooler and being all that shit, you think you're tough until you go out of those mountains of Wyoming. Yeah, there's a different kind of tough out there.
Yeah, yeah. When you're no longer on the UFF. You're no longer on the top of the totem pole when you're out there. That plays a role, I'm sure. You know, coon hunting by yourself at night, especially if the hounds are out there, I mean, that could definitely get lonely. But like you said, you know, there's a different kind of feeling when you know that you're 6-8 miles away from civilization.
I mean, we were 48 miles from Alpine, which, you know, we're 48 miles in the mountains with a truck, okay?
Yeah.
And then we're another, you know, we're probably half a mile in for, or not even that, probably quarter mile in for camp total, and then we're, and you go hunt, and then you're whatever direction.
Right.
In the mountains. So, you know, you're a long ways away. If something happens, dude, you're going to have some serious problems.
Yeah.
That this is cowboys and Indian shit, and you need to be careful. And I thought I could just, oh, man, I can do this. Ain't no problem. I was completely wrong. Hmm. I was not in shape for that. Mentally, I was not in shape for it either. And that's something I'm excited for next year, is to change all that. But it's worth the money just to experience being that deep, you know, in the mountains and something that's so wild.
Yeah, I was going to say, each year you go back, I'm sure you're going to find more and more comfort in what you're doing because you're going to get more and more familiar with it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think a big thing for a lot of people there, I mean, I grew up riding horses my entire life, and the big thing up there is you're backpacking in, and, you know, it's a backcountry hunt, and a lot of people can't ride horses. So it's like, dude, that's just one obstacle there. I mean, there are so many obstacles that if you can't ride a horse, you got to put that in your mind. Like, that's the best thing for you out there. So, yeah, I wouldn't go out there if you can't ride a horse, or if you don't even have the balls to ride a horse, honestly.
I've never ridden a horse.
That's not an issue over here, buddy.
my sister-in-law grew up with horses, and, you know, that's what she was actually going to school for, was to be a horse veterinarian. And I asked her the other day, because I was listening, we were talking to Kurt, and I was like, hey, you got any horses left that you can ride? I was like, I kind of want to try it. She's like, no, they're all way too old and way too broken up. They're just field gnomes at this point. I'm like, son of a bitch, I missed my window.
I got you, fam.
You got horses I can ride?
My dad has 6 horses, man.
All right, I want to ride a horse. You know, because I hear your story, and then I hear Kurt, and I'm like, you know, and talking even with Eric when I was at the shoot. Man, it seems like that was like the biggest obstacle for those two. Never riding a horse before was just getting used to that aspect of it, and that was like a whole new adventure for them. So,
well, I tell you what, I mean, they talked like that. You know, they were scared of riding horses, or not really scared, but they were just not used to it. But I don't know. I thought they did really well. I thought they were like, I don't know. They kind of I thought they threw out that vibe too. For sure, Kurt, like, that, you know, doesn't ride horses a whole lot and says fuck horses. But dude, I don't know. They were pretty tough on them suckers. I thought they did really well. So
yeah.
I didn't even see, until I heard the podcast, I didn't even think that, like, they were once like that. So I don't know. I think they did a really good job.
They kept their cool. They were kind of like ducks, calm and cool above the water, but kicking like hell.
Dude, they wanted, I mean, you got to remember, they just wanted to hunt. They didn't care how they did it. So that's the cool thing. I mean, doesn't matter how they got there. It was on a rhino or a giraffe or a fucking horse. So
beautiful thing.
They were killing a bear. So, yeah. Yeah, it was just too warm. It was just super hot there. You know, the bears were high up in the mountains, you know, and then at nighttime they'd eat the bait when it was cooled down and we were all, you know, in bed. So it was just the wrong time of year for it. It's a weird year, pretty much, is what they told me.
So you weren't spending an entire night up in a tree stand in Wyoming?
I don't think you could pay me, not as of right now, quite a bit of money. I mean, it would take quite a bit, honestly, for me to do that. I don't know if I could do it.
That would take some cojones, my friend.
Well,
holy
it's just,
shit.
It's just like if you're not used to the area at all and then you don't know what's out there, it's like, dude, I'm one big fat piece of fucking meat out here. Someone wants to eat me. I'm going to be a good dinner. You know? But you got to remember, like anything else, most of the shit scared you. You know, I was laughing at, oh, you know, actually I was on my way home from Wyoming is what it was. I'm like, I didn't see a single goddamn bear anywhere, like anywhere. I was like getting close to Iowa and my phone like went off and the news went off. Oh, there's a bear in Iowa from Wisconsin. I'm like, this is bullshit. I just got 21 hours. I was so mad at myself. I go, I just got home and there's a bear and everybody's like texting me, hey, dude, there's bears here. Why'd you leave? I'm like, yeah, fuck off. I get it.
Oh, well, there's plenty of bears here in PA, whatever. Man. If you ever want to come out this way, we can show you how to not do it anyways. Show you how to do it wrong. Yeah.
I want to know your favorite hunting story of all time. We're getting a little closer on time here, but you know, it's something I try and get out of every guest. Doesn't have to be your biggest deer. Doesn't have to be your first deer. I want to hear your favorite hunting story of all time.
Let me think, man. Let me think, because
it could be a good hunting story.
I would say the river story, like I just told you about, because that buck was only 130s. You know, it wasn't like it was a monster, like by any means. It was just like the feeling of it. But I'll probably give you a different one, and I'll stick to whitetails because you guys are, you know, a whitetail podcast. So I'm not gonna go into like, you know, different stuff. I think definitely it was a couple of years ago. I just first bought this property. My wife and I bought this property October 2019. I think it was, yeah, right October we closed. Like 14th. I might have been 2 weeks prior. And I don't know when it was. Sometime in October. And we were driving by this property, and we were having a few drinks. And there was a phone number on the sign that said for sale. And it was like in the weeds. And I'm like, oh, this property must be for sale. You know, let's see what it's all about. So I called the realtor, and they said, yeah, it's for sale. This is the price. And I was like, oh, sounds good. And I was like, just being dumb. And I lowballed it by like $50,000, just being stupid.
Yeah.
Well, then they called me and said that, okay, we'll accept your bid. And then I ended up buying it the next day, which is super crazy. It's a funny story. It was hilarious. I had to own it by like 8 a.m. And it was like 9 p.m. when I called them. It was funnier than that. Funniest freaking story ever, honestly.
Yeah, man.
You had to be there to see it. Yeah. And then I was like, all right, let's just fucking put some cameras up, see what's going on. I don't know shit about this area. You know, let's just throw some cameras up. And right away, man, that's a nice buck. You know, didn't really know what he was because I've never seen him before. And he looked really nice. Had really tall brow tracks. I call brows. You guys can see him on my Instagram page. I called them brows. Real long, tall brow tines. Almost a foot each. Beautiful, beautiful buck. And kept seeing him. And so I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to set some stands up real quick and see if I can get on them. So I did that one day, and then I put up a scrape stick. You guys are familiar with using scrape sticks or no?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So I put this, what I ended up having was like this old kerosene, like wooden post. And I put this out in the middle of the field and put a scrape stick on it with like a pine branch. And I put a camera on it. Well, as I'm doing this, you know, I just left the office. So I'm wearing like curve, like fucking cologne, and I was smelling nice. You know, I had a nice dress shirt on, and I'm like trying to hurry up and put the scrape stick up, but I'm like, I was clean, so I wasn't like getting all over it. I was downwind trying to be good, and I just wanted to leave. Well, as I'm doing this, and I sprayed some shit all over it, and as I'm doing this, that buck jumps the fence and comes right at me with my truck next to me. Like, sprints right at me and just bellers and goes nuts. I'm like, are you shitting me? What are you doing? And I'm freaking out because he's just coming in like a jackass because it's a rut. You know, mm-hmm. He's just coming in dumb. So I'm yelling at him, telling him to get out of here, leave, you know, and he kind of snort wheezes and then takes off. And I go, man, this guy's fired up. He don't give a shit. So the next day I took off work. I hunted. I was just too far. I was probably about 110 yards from him. Couldn't get on him. And I was like, sending Snapchat. I was like, yeah, this deer's pretty big. Like, he's pretty cool. Just wish I knew what he was. Can't really tell, but this is a fun story. Well, then a couple days later, it was getting, I don't know if it was Halloween. I have to look at my Instagram again. I don't know what it was. He come out and smoked him, left him. I know I hit him pretty good. I knew I hit him pretty good. And I left, actually went down to the end of my farm and had a couple beers, just relaxed, like kind of got myself together. And thought, yeah, he must be dead. It's been about 3-4 hours. So went back about 3-4 hours later, got to the top where we thought we went in, and we hear the loudest growl. You don't think it's definitely not a deer. You think it's more of like a cougar. There's horses near us. So we kind of thought it was a horse, you know, from a distance. We couldn't really tell. And I'm like, yeah, it's not a big deal. Let's keep going. Well, right where we heard that sound from, must have been him. It must have took him a while to die, which we thought he was done right away. He didn't go very far, but, you know, that last, you know, that dying breath sometimes.
That death mode.
4 hours, yeah. 3-4 hours, I thought was pretty wild.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. Holy smokes.
You know, he was smoked. He only went probably 65 yards.
Oh,
so,
damn.
Hard to say. I mean, deer are tough. You guys know that deer are very tough.
Especially in the Midwest, man. They're a different kind of creature. They're tougher than tough.
They can just take it.
Yeah. And especially sometimes, too, you get them in the lungs. They lay down without, you know, exhausting himself. And that's probably what they did. Slow down his breathing, you know, make sure that they're just trying to stay alive. Like, that's what they do. They survive. It's incredible.
Yeah, 100%.
Incredible. I've seen the same thing actually in Illinois. My dad's buddy that was hunting with, he made a real nice shot on deer, double lung, and this is, we come up on it still alive, like 5-6 hours later, just laying there. I mean, like drooling on itself, completely dead, but still alive. You know, it was just incredible what they can do. Like they're mutant deers. I don't understand how they how you guys kill them at all. To be honest,
unreal, man.
Oh, but incredible. Yeah, that's probably cool. It's just your own property, the story you had. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, really, if you want to get into it and you actually saw the story unfold, like the actual video format, it'd be really cool the way I talked about it. But it was definitely a touching moment for sure. And then the following year, kill another buck that's bigger than off the property that you watched a year prior that you've seen since then to the day. It's just like it's becoming a big, big, cool story for something else, which I don't know what's going to be yet, but. That buck from last year is down in Old Barn Taxidermy right now. He's going to be a full mount. It's going to be beautiful with a scrape 16. I spent some money, but it's going to be really, really cool.
That sounds epic, dude. And solid plug to Old Barn Taxidermy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they said, dude, let's do this. I'm like, dude, that's crazy. They're like, yep, we're doing it. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do it.
I'm in. No. Damn it, I'm in.
Can't complain there.
Take my money.
I love it.
You know, my camera guy, Johnny Utah, he kind of push me towards them, and that's where I've been going ever since. I mean, I've been going there a couple of years now.
Johnny Utah's an awesome guy. We've had him on the podcast.
Yep. He'll be returning soon. Pretty soon, hopefully. I got to get a hold of him and bring him back on, but I talked to him at the shoot, and man, what a quality dude he is. Just quality ass dude.
Dude, if you guys can get him to do like anything, like pictures-wise, like anything you want with that guy, if you haven't seen his stuff, dude, he is the real deal. Mm-hmm. He really is. Just from where he came from, and I mean, he started doing something that he had seriously. I don't even know how he got into it. Honestly, I've listened to it a few times, but going to something where he was a cop. I mean, he's a full-time police officer,
yep.
And out of nowhere, he's like, you know, I'm going to start doing this camera business. I'm like, dude, that takes balls.
Yeah,
I don't know. And then now he's, look how big he is. Man, he's huge.
Yeah,
it's awesome stuff.
And he earned it all. And we've been following along with him for a long time. He was one of our earlier guests on our podcast, like way early. You know, and meeting him at trade shows and stuff way back when. And man, his whole life fell apart and he just built it right back up. That takes a lot. And a lot of people give up in those situations. He just never stopped. And, you know, I still wear his work more hours bracelet. And I mean, the dude just absolutely kills it. Good for him. And I'm glad he's a part of what you have going on. And I look forward to seeing that relationship build as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool to have him a part of everything. He's been a part of from day one, honestly. I met him at ATA.
Yeah.
Damn. And I think it was, like, we talked from there. I can't remember, really. And we just hit it off, and, you know, I was like, dude, I'll never be able to afford you, like, even to even talk to you, but, like, you know, these are my ideas. And he's like, no, man, we live, like, really close. Like, we can work something out, and I don't know. He's been the complete image from day one, too. Same with Jordan, the working class guys. All of them are all family. They all push me and help me as well. So I would be nothing without them, guys, honestly. They've been my family from day one. So any questions I have, I ask them, guys, and they go back right back to me with them.
That's a beautiful thing, man. Beautiful. Well, we are getting there close on time, man. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and Gator Outdoors?
For sure. Yeah, right now, Gator Outdoors, GatorOutdoors.com. That's our website.
Yeah.
Instagram is Gator-Outdoors-Official. That's our Instagram account. And then Facebook, you can just find us on Gator Outdoors.
That's beautiful, man.
We're lucky that we got all them, the domain names, we got the handles, all that stuff, Gator, which is cool. But yeah, it's a big Gator Outdoors badge. It's black and white. We have a lot of good things coming, and yeah, everyone's going to be able to be a part of it, which we're very, very, very excited for.
That's awesome, man. I can't wait. It's going to be epic, and you know, thanks for coming on, brother. We appreciate you.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a good night.
From antelope in the Western Plains to the whitetails of the Midwest and giant black bears in Canada, watch 100% bow hunting action on Respect the Game, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.